Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you guys, how is everyone tonight? This is Say Your Piece with your host, Salita McCall, and we have our co-host, Brian Coleman. How are you this lovely night?
Doing well, Salita, doing well.
Good. Okay, what we want to do, first of all, we want to recap on the last couple of shows we've had and kind of talk about what we're in the process of doing. As you know, Say Your Piece is basically a show where you come on and you're able to say whatever's on your mind, and, you know, if you have a problem that we can help you with, we don't mind doing that. If you have any comments or suggestions or any information that you want to give out, you can call us at 347-677-1749. That's 347-677-1749. Now, we want to kind of recap on some of the stuff that's been going on since our last show, matter of fact, with Mr. Bruce Smith, which is Jason Smith's father. As you know, he feels that his son's case was not handled correctly and that we're in the process of trying to help him get the right information to get someone to look at his case. As you know, his son was told that his son was drowned when the evidence is showing otherwise. So we're in the process of trying to help him get connected with the right people. You guys, and I want to say this pertaining to that, having the opportunity to talk to this man, it really did my heart, I mean, it really did something to me. And I say this because this young man didn't even know how to use a cell phone. And I say young man, I'm talking about the father. He doesn't actually really know how to work a computer. And that bothered me. That bothered me a lot simply because what are we doing? What are we doing that the simplest things? And I was messing with him. I was teasing him, and I was trying to get him to understand that if you guys don't take time out to learn those computers, yeah, you might think it's for the kids. But with his situation, he needs to know that computer. Not to say he needs to know everything about it, but it's very important that he knows the basics of how to operate a computer, because that is going to, social media is going to be the way that he's going to get the help that he needs. And that's proven in just our conversation with him and how far we've gone with helping him so far through social media. Because if I would have never seen that video, again, social media, quote unquote, we would have never gotten this far with him. We've talked to him several times. Well, I have talked to him several times since we've had him on the show. So I'm saying this, and we're getting him the help that is needed. I'm in the process Monday of working on some more stuff to get to him. I had an opportunity to talk to Dr. Bowles, which, Brian, you know, we talked to her, and we got some information from her that was very vital, and I related to him. And also the ideal that we kind of connected him with the right people so far. Hopefully he's able to get someone to help him write the letter and put everything together so that he can get it sent off. You guys, it's very important that we as adults don't think that we're too old to learn new things. In order for us to keep up with our children, we're going to have to, and that was one of the things I said to him, was, okay, you got laptops for your kids, but you don't know what your kids are doing on their laptop. And he even had to say, you know what, I never thought about it like that. So your kids are doing things on your laptop, and because you're not interested in learning the computer, you don't know what they're getting into. So that was another reason why, a safety reason for your children, that you know what they're doing with those computers. Just simply the basis of turning it on and turning it off, knowing how to send an email, you know, getting him set up on the email. And I told him to go to the nearest library and get them to help him set up an email address so that when he does have stuff coming in, he knows where to go. If he doesn't have a computer at home, he can go to the library and check his email anywhere he goes. You know, those are the simple things he didn't even know. And to me, I'm saying simple because I know. It's probably not simple for him. It's probably a lot of complicated. You know, it's probably real complicated. Now, if he was close to me and Brian, we probably could just sit all day long and help him and get him, you know, where he needs to go. But because he's not close to us, it's hard. It's hard for us to get him, you know, to get him the information that we want to or get him to understand what he needs to do.
Right.
So that's something that's very important, and that's why I stress the ideal that we need to know. Don't ever think that you're too old to know that computer. If you know nothing else, even when your children are on Facebook, you don't even know what they're doing on Facebook because you know what? You don't care. Not that you don't care. It's not interesting to you, but you need to keep up with what your children are doing.
I think, Salita, one of the things that we may mention is that I know the area that we in is considered a small, very small metropolitan area. A little less than 50. Well, the combined is maybe about what 65,000. Cities that's connected together. But here in our area, the local library system is offering free computer classes. Some that would cost people up to $500 a class. And so I know if they're available in this small area, that some of the larger areas definitely should have some programs such as that where they offer free computer classes that are actually teaching the computer, teaching different apps of the computer.
Well, because what we are not understanding, a lot of the grants for the library, public library, is there for a reason. It's there because that's what they want us to do. They're getting money to have those classes, and they're getting money to bring in those computers and all that equipment. So it's a good thing that they're doing that. So there's no excuse. If they're giving you free classes, man, you don't turn. You know, we holler about black folks, and I'm saying black folks. We holler free, free, free. But the main stuff that's real free, you know, there's no strings attached to it. You don't even want to get involved in it. You know, and I think education and the computer classes and anything, any tutoring, anything that says free on it that's pertaining to our education and our knowledge, we should be jumping at it at every opportunity we get. Because, like you said, those classes, just like Ms. Johnson was telling us, $200 to $300, up to $500 for a class, a program, a software that you don't have to pay for if you use the library. The whole point of having the library there. And that's very important, and that kind of ties into what we're going to be talking about basically tonight about the education system. First of all, let me see who we have on the line here, you guys. Hello.
Hey, guys. Hello. You're talking about education of today's generation, and I'm here because I am part of this generation, and I wanted to ask you guys. What do you think, and what are your hopes of this generation? Because I think what's going on with this generation is that we are watching way too much My Little Pony, and we're becoming too big of bronies that we're clopping all over the place and in classrooms that we're clopping and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then with our pencils, we're dropping them because we're turning into bronies because now we only have hooves. So we can't hold our pencils, and that's basically what's wrong with our school system.
Okay, can you put that in our language, what you just said? Can you put that in our language?
We are turning into ponies. We are all turning into ponies.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
One day, your child is going to grow a giant tail and clop away.
Okay. Are you being funny? Because this is not a show to be playing on.
Ma'am.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that there's something under all this. What's happening is that kids are wasting way too much of their time doing something unproductive.
Okay.
Like watching My Little Pony.
I think what the call is saying, Salita, is that, well, like I sometimes tell my children, it's okay to look at television, but when you get so caught up in these sitcoms and these funny bunny shows and you don't keep up with what's going on, the reality of things, we get caught up, and before you know it, everything has passed you by, and you just become another number in the system, if I'm correct.
Okay.
We have time for us to get serious and start mm-hmm. taking things serious, and everything is not entertainment. Is that what you're speaking of, caller?
No, she's gone.
Okay.
She's gone.
From what I've gathered, she's kind of talking new age.
Well, I'm hoping she wasn't playing with me because she's lucky she got in. I'm sorry. I mean, she could have came with a better. I don't even watch My Little Pony anymore, so I don't even know it still came on television.
That's why
I had an issue with what she was saying.
Speaking of some analogy of My Little Pony.
Yeah, if
like,
she was talking about
an
analogy,
these
that would have been a different story. But you're talking about us growing tails and all that. That was being funny, and this is not a show for you coming on here to play around. We're not. This is a serious thing. If she was trolling to find something to talk about, then this is not the place for that. We're not trolling on here, okay? Just want to let anybody else who's out there listening, this is not a show to come on and play with. Because if you had a show, I wouldn't waste your time, and I really don't want you wasting ours. Thank you. Okay, back to the subject. Now, what I was saying was you were saying about the education system, about how the simplest things about a computer, because even me and you talk about that, Brian, all the time, about things that you want to know about computers that you don't. But you know the basics. You can get on there and you can type. You can turn it off. You can turn it on. You can paste and cut. Some people, and copy, some people don't even know how to do that. They don't know how to do the simplest things that are on the computer.
Right.
And because they have their mind, oh, that's too much for me to learn. No, it's not really too much for you to learn. Because not only can you learn by putting your hands on it, you can actually learn also if you pick up a book and read. And some people have issues with reading, too. So when you talk about, the subject is about education, and it is supposed to be geared toward the idea that our kids are going back to school, but I'm also gearing toward the parents being involved in the kids going back to school. Like this summer, we went to vacation, we went to Disneyland. Oh, we went to the park. We went to go hang out at people's houses. We had barbecues. We had how many hours during the time that your kids was off did you sit down with them with a book?
True.
Probably. How many times did you turn off that television and sat down and told them to pull out some old homework that they never finished? Or even go to the store and buy workbooks? Or if you're going to get on a computer, you computer-savvy parents, sit down. There's all kinds of programs that are free that you can download and put on your computer and teach them math and reading and science. How many of you actually out there did that this summer? What's more important, them sitting down playing a video game or sitting down and actually learning something? You know they're going into the seventh grade. Why didn't you go to the store and pick up seventh grade math books, seventh grade workbooks, seventh grade English workbooks, and sit down with them for the summer, and not all the whole summer, but maybe two or three days out the weeks that they were off, and sit down with them maybe an hour or two and worked out some problems with them? How many of us can honestly say we did that?
I don't know. Probably not many.
Okay. So that's why I'm saying that's what's important. That's what we should be doing in the summertime. You know, if we could let them sleep all day, because I know a lot of our parents did that. We let them sleep to 1 and 2 o'clock. Well, they don't have to get up and go to school. But then you get your kid out of sync when you don't put them to bed at the proper time every night. Seriously, you get them out of sync. And if you say you keep the daily routine of when they're in school, you feed them, you tell them to sit down and do their homework. They don't have to do 2 and 3 hours worth of homework. But give them something to do prior to them laying down to go to sleep. That next day, if you do it 5 days a week, it's just like they're in school. Only thing different is you get more time to play than you do sitting down studying. That should be the difference in their summer vacation or their summertime out of school. Even during the springtime, when spring break comes, you should be still studying. But, you know, we want our kids to have fun. We want our kids to, you know, be part of everything. But you got to understand, you guys, you got schools. China, I think China goes to school, what, all year round?
Yeah, and I think that was one of the things they were actually proposing here in our area was to some of the schools at least going year round so the kids would stay focused.
Yeah. But no, we have more we have more doggone holidays than ever any place I've ever lived. And
I don't
understand the concept. When we're not doing too hot in the education system, we're not ranking too well in the education system. Louisiana's not.
No. They don't rank too well in much of anything.
Anything. That's right. So it's just so I don't know if we should, you know, we want to get angry at the teachers, but if you don't do it at home, what do you expect? If you don't do it yourself, you have to understand, you set examples for your children. If my child doesn't see me reading, I can't get mad at him if he doesn't want to read.
True.
I can't get mad at him because that's something he doesn't see me do. And believe it or not, your child watches everything you do.
Right.
If my child sees me sitting all day long watching soap operas and reality shows and court TV. When I say court TV, I'm talking about like Judge Judy, Judge Joe Brown, and all those kind of shows that really are not going to teach you that much. Really, they're not because they don't have time to teach you. If my child sees me do that every day and he brings me home a D or F, why should I get upset with him? Why should I punish him? Why should I get mad at him? Because he's doing what I do.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly. if my kid sees me on the computer, he walks in and, oh, sit down, go get you something. I already fixed your food. Go in there and sit down and eat. I'm sitting on the computer all the time because you got parents to do that. And he's bringing me his homework for me to look over. Okay, just go over there and sit down in the chair. I'll come over there in a few minutes. And I never go back over there to that chair where he's sitting and sit down with him and do his homework. What am I expecting if he brings home a D and an F?
Oh, true.
You know what I'm saying? So
right.
When do we start being responsible? When do we start putting our foot down and saying, you know what, we're getting mad at these schools because our kids are not learning something, but what are we doing as parents? Are we spending time talking? Are we spending time with our children? Are we making a schedule so that we can get time to sit down and teach them certain things? Because in the process, you're learning too. You know? Give me a second. Got somebody on the line. Just a second.
Okay.
Hello? Welcome to Say Your Piece. How can I help you? Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Oh, hi. I was just calling to listen tonight, Stephanie. This is Mary Neal.
Okay, hi. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Hello, how are you?
Good.
I know that we get so much information from Say Your Piece, and I really
yes.
enjoyed it. And I looked up Say Your Piece on Google.
Uh-huh.
Follow up after the shows that I was involved with in Say Your Piece, and I
uh-huh.
thought I'd call and see what subjects you were covering tonight. So I hadn't, I didn't know you were talking to me at first because I didn't press 1 to be in the host queue, and I didn't know that you knew I was here. So
yeah,
I was just calling to listen mostly, and I really
okay.
appreciate all the good information that you bring the community. And I heard you saying that parents have a grave responsibility to their children. And so
mm-hmm.
I was just going to listen to you talk about that. But you know me, I have so much to say about everything. Thank you. I just want to say that, you know, you may have heard, I'm sure, about the young man in Arkansas, Chavis Carter, who police said he's a black Houdini. They said that they searched them twice, locked them in the back of a police car in handcuffs. But nevertheless, even though he's left-handed, he managed to shoot himself in the right temple and commit suicide. You heard about
uh-huh.
that?
Yes, I saw that. In the Department
of
Justice.
We've got another black Houdini that I don't know if you know about.
Uh-huh.
I call these Houdini, because, you know, Houdini was a great contortionist, could get out of handcuffs and all of that. This young man, they arrested in Denver, Colorado, threw him in the back of a police car, were en route to jail with him, and they didn't release his identity. That's why I just call him Man. And they say he slipped out of his handcuffs and attacked the driver of the car, the police officer, so they had to shoot him.
So now we
got a new lie. Yeah. So that's two within a week.
We all know, and we have so many stories about when they cuff you, they clamp them down so tight you have marks on your wrist. Unless your hands are made of gristle, just plain ligaments, no bones, there's no way you're going to slip out of those cuffs the way they clamp them down. How can you attack someone when they have bars, actually a screen on that thing? They just come up with all kinds of bogus stuff. It's crazy.
Well, that's two. These are new lies, and that's two black men that are dead within a week, and they say that they are able to do miraculous things, locked in the back of a police car in handcuffs, and end up dead. So I just want to go on record right now as saying that that's ridiculous. Murderous police officers, we don't believe you, and you got to come up with something better than that. Now, the FBI is going to look into Chavis Carter's murder. You heard about that.
Yeah, I saw that. Uh-huh.
But I wrote and asked them to please look into the Denver, Colorado murder, because that man did not slip out of his handcuffs and attack anybody. And they need to put a stop to this lie, because if this lie flies, then nobody is safe in police custody. They'll be handcuffing scores of people and saying they got out of their handcuffs. So we need to put a clamp on this lie now before it gets to your child or your brother or your sister.
Exactly. You know what, too, and this is just my, because I call myself a conspiracy theorist, I believe what they're trying to do, and there is sacrifices that have to be made to make this happen, I believe they're trying to make us a nationwide police state. That's what I think. And they're starting in particular places to get this started. I really believe that. And if it calls for the sacrifices of our children, I think that's what's going to happen. I really think that's what the whole point is, for us to get all riled up, mad, and start marching in the streets, and then the violence starts, and then, you know, we have a reason to bring in the National Guard and turn our states individually into police states. I believe that. That's just me. Doesn't mean that it's correct, but that's how I believe. And why not have those are sacrifices. Because if that boy, now if he was on probation, I think Chavis Carter was on probation, if I'm not mistaken. I think he was in trouble before. Now, if he didn't do this before, why all of a sudden now he's doing it? Or he did it?
The thing is, another concern, Stephanie, is that these people, when they get arrested, sometimes they get DNA evidence from them just by them being arrested. You know that, right?
Exactly, exactly.
And so I'm saying, suppose they run their DNA through the bank and find a rich person who needs their organs. Maybe they're killing them for organs. I want Chavis Carter's family to make sure they get all his organs back. I'm aware that the young man that they lynched in Louisiana, the 14-year-old, they say they didn't get their organs back. So I'm wondering now, are they going and arresting and killing people after they've been arrested and they match their DNA to rich people who need their organs? That's a consideration.
You know, Roz, with the Wesley Snipes movement, and she also has the group, Legal Justice Movement, she has been
diligently. She's the one who introduced me to you.
Yeah, she has been diligently posting information on it. I heard it, but I didn't really look into it, but I've been really looking into this organ. Stealing organs and selling organs is really a big business. We hear about human trafficking, but the thing that they don't want to talk about is organ selling, stealing people's organs. These people are just stitched up in some cases, and their organs have been removed, and they're not there. And they actually have on tape and hidden camera that the Jewish, some of the Jewish folks went to Haiti, and they were pulling people out of the rubble and said it's so easy that they translated, said they were going to kill them and take their organs, and then they'd be humanitarians. I mean, so and they admitted the Israeli government that some of their military people had admitted in the early 90s of this practice. It's on tape. So, I mean, one thing about it is...
Did you read also, did you see the videos of the big roundup that was done of...
Yeah,
I
showed
Jewish
that.
People
yeah.
here in America who were doing
Rabbi.
Organ trafficking.
Yeah.
I mean,
that.
You don't hear about that in major media, but who controls the major media?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Jewish. Yeah.
So...
You're right.
We don't hear about it in the major media. We see why. We don't hear about the made in media.
But you know what, too, and you guys, and I know we're not basically on the subject of education right now, but my thing is we can, you know, we're hollering, wake up, wake up, wake up, America, wake up. But people, we have to understand this, too. Some people are so far gone that they're not, they don't want to hear what we have to say.
You know
they
why? I've been looking at, you know, just what you said. Why do some people don't want to hear what we have to say? You know, they are so indoctrinated, brainwashed. And if they really look at it, a free country allows you to explore all different societies with
yeah.
unbiased remarks.
Yeah.
But since I've been in grade school, anytime this system has talks about any other society, it's normally a put down. Better. Our thing is better than this and that. It pushes you not to want to even look that way because you think you're in the best system in the world when you find out that it's not necessarily the best system or there are other ones that are greater. But because this is the only thing we've been exposed to, we are brainwashed into thinking there's nothing other than this.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. But it's constantly showing, even the media, they're showing that there's people that's much smarter than we are, that have a better format of how they live their lives and a better formula in how to even survive in life than we do. And we're on this cloud that we're the best thing rolling. And I'm sorry, I don't believe America is. Not that I'm anti-American, I just don't think we are. I see a lot of our flaws. And if we want to keep walking around with our blinders on and don't want to admit that we're not all what we claim to be, this is what's hurting us. I'm not saying down your country. I'm just saying let's put everything on the table. Let's open up all the things that are not right about us and let us at least attempt to fix them.
And
be truthful about them if we can't fix them. But at least be truthful that it's there. And then we can move on. But as long as we keep putting, like, we're the strongest nation in the world, we have the highest unemployment rate, and I'm not blaming the president. I'm not blaming nobody. A lot of it is everybody's involved in. It's not just the president. You know, we want to put that on his back. No, it's not. It's everybody involved. It's every infrastructure that makes up America that's involved to make this happen. It really is. And if we want to keep it on him and all the other presidents that are involved, I really don't think – I think it's us not standing up for ourselves because we're putting too much faith in the man that is in that office. Instead of us taking a lot of stuff on our own and making things happen, we're depending on this man. We don't want to depend on nobody, but that's what we do because that's why we blame him for everything, because we're depending on him to fix everything. And it's not his job to fix everything.
Right.
He hasn't fixed anything for black people, honey. And he could have done something.
Well, he's not the only one. But he's not the only one. A lot of the presidents haven't done anything for us. We think they have, but they really haven't. Because if they did, we wouldn't be where we're at now.
But some of them got 90% of the black vote. This man got 90% of the black vote. And if he hadn't done anything for anyone, then I could say, well, he's just not into social issues. But he's done quite a lot for others and deliberately left out the people who gave him 90% of their vote. But I don't want to go there with the president. When you were talking about education, I think that's important, and I just want people to know, please, that these schools have themselves there. And children are not anymore getting punishments like go stand in the corner something wrong. They are marching children of schools into jails. And they're calling the parents and letting them know that they are in trouble. They're not giving the children the same rights that they should have, that you and I have, to tell them you have the right not to answer questions unless you're a parent or you have a legal counsel. Because children don't understand their rights, and they just start talking. So they're railroading children into jails and prisons, and they are giving some of them life sentences. So let's that children are facing the same consequences as grown-ups, because they're trying them as adults, and they're pulling them out of their classrooms with police, our police, sitting in their rooms, talking to them without the right of their parents being there, without any legal counsel, and they're railroading them into prison. And what I want to tell parents is that when you start your PTA meetings this fall, please start a parents' council, start a parent advocacy group where you can have one of your PTA members there at the school at all times, just like they have a police officer.
Then, that's right. That is a great idea.
So that Johnny goes in to talk to the police, the parent advocate will right away be responsible to get on the phone and try to track down Johnny's mama, auntie, grandma, somebody, and let them know Johnny is in trouble here at the school. Please come. And that parent advocate should have the right to sit in the parent's place until the parent gets there, if they never get there. So I think at the PTA meeting, you should write up a permission slip.
Yeah, I like that.
Yes, the parent advocate has the right to act on my behalf if my child faces discipline at this school. Write it down, have each parent who is willing to sign it, and that way, if Johnny and Sue are taken in for counseling or any accusation that is made, that parent advocate will have the right to act mother and father's place until they get there, because it's wrong the way they're railroading even little six-year-olds to jail.
Would that be, Felita, would that be something like the way CASA is set up?
No, CASA, CASA is basically dealing with the parents and the child.
I know that, but I'm talking about as far as somebody working on behalf of someone else.
Exactly.
I understand that. Where she's speaking of somebody, where they.
I think that's an awesome idea, Mary. I think that is an awesome idea. That is awesome.
Just one second, please. But then, I get involved in this fighting for justice after they secretly arrested and murdered my mentally ill brother. So I got involved in that. But my heart is with the children. They are railroaded them into jail because they want prisoners. They want to train them for these union jobs that they're taking away from the private sector. And they are going into the schools. They're catching them away from their mothers and fathers, and they are getting them to sign confessions, sometimes to things they didn't do. You know, I can trick a child into signing a confession.
Yeah, that's true. Just one moment, Mary. Just one second. Hello? Welcome to Say Your Piece. Hello? Hello? Oh, I guess they're gone. Okay. I guess they're gone. Anyway, now go ahead. Finish saying what you were saying, Mary.
Well, you can look at the article I wrote, and it's called Kids for Cash. It's called
Kids
for Cash. Kids
Cash.
For Cash.
Okay.
And you can look on there, Juvenile Justice, Kids for Cash. And what I want everybody to understand is that the prison system is there to make money off of slavery. That's basic.
Uh-huh.
I think that comes even before crime prevention, is to
uh-huh.
get money for slavery. And the thing is that three juvenile cases discussed in that article. One young man, school with guns on, and a detective, a gun uniform officer, and his assistant principal pulled him into a room and questioned him about crimes in his community. And got him to confess, and when he confessed to those crimes, they used those confessions against him later, tried him as an adult, sent him to prison. So his parents were saying that he did not understand his rights. He did not have an attorney to call his parents. And he wants to be out of jail because they violated his Miranda warning. So the case that was before the Supreme Court is, do we have to give children Miranda warnings? Do we have to give children the same rights as other people? Well, you give them the same sentences as other people.
Why not?
So,
yeah.
So you know, but they will nevertheless, they will build a case on your child by pulling them out of the classroom, teaching them away from you, and 25% of the wrongful convictions come from false confessions. 25% of wrongful convictions, and they're at a rate of 5,000 to 10,000 a year, according to this study. 5,000
uh-huh.
to 10,000 wrongful convictions happen every year, probably more than that. But 25%
uh-huh.
of those come from false confessions by children and the mentally ill. So, in other words, you catch a little kid, you say, look, just sign right here and we'll call your mommy. She's crying. I want to go home. Sign right here and we'll call your mommy. You can go home, which is just a lie. The average kid, 15, 14, 12, they'll sign because you're going to call their mommy. And then you go lock them up and you try them as an adult and you've got them for 30 years. This is
mm-hmm.
happening in America. So
now you know
we
something
need
else?
The DTA to get involved in protecting children at school. Get the
exactly.
parents to sign that a parent advocate can stand in your place until you get there. And then they can go into the meetings with the principal and the police officer who is already stationed at your school. Understand that.
Yeah.
The police are there
yep.
already. But
yep.
nobody's there for the kids. And we need to correct
yep.
that. And it is not
yep.
just the parents' problem. It is all our problems. And we
yep.
need to call the PTA and we need to volunteer to be parent advocates at least one day a year at our local schools. We need to take care of our children, people, because these people are looking at them as their slaves. And we need to stand up. You know, we had that Million Man March to Washington. March to your local school and stand up for the children. This is what I'm begging my people to do. Create a program where there are parent advocates at every school every day that those children are there with police officers.
Yeah, because you know what? You're so right, because there is a police officer in each and every one of the schools here. I know for sure. There are police officers. They're called resource officers is what it's called, quote, unquote, is the name of them. And they are in the schools. Now, you know, you made me think about something. I was watching a video about Texas. Texas has it the worst. They're literally fining these kids, tickets. They're giving them real tickets that their parents have to go to court and pay, okay, in order for them to. This one little girl wore perfume, and the kids complained about the perfume that she wore. She got a ticket for $175 because the teacher said that she disrupted the class. And the kids were bullying her. That's in Texas. Texas, they said
right.
Texas is the hardest place that has all these rules like this where they literally ticket the kids.
Well,
where is
that
in America?
Ticketing the
kids.
And
yeah,
what happens
the kids
if the parents
like
can't afford
up.
To pay?
Yeah, that's another thing they were talking
can't
about.
Can't afford to pay the ticket.
Yeah.
Do you know
yeah.
what happens if the parents can't afford to pay the ticket? What happens?
it didn't say. It didn't talk about that.
They probably put them in juvenile.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, they're excuse to put black people, let's just put it plain, put black people in jail. Because you know darn well there ain't no police standing up in those private little white schools. So
I want you to know.
Yes.
No, I was just going to say, you know this is in the public schools. This is not in the private schools.
Exactly.
Those resource officers are in the public schools. Okay? So that's
in other words, they're affecting poor, middle class, and minority people. That's who they're there to railroad into jail. Your children.
Both black and white.
Yes. As long as they're poor or middle class. In other words, the 99%.
It's both black and white. That's what they're doing. And this young little girl was a little white girl. And her mother was like, why didn't the teacher stop the bullying if my daughter was that much of a problem? Why didn't they call me before they wrote the ticket? She said she didn't get called.
It's all about railroading them in jail. They could have called the mom and said, Mom, your daughter wore a little bit too much perfume today. Could you come and get her? And they could let her sit in the office until Mama came.
That's the way it was done. But that's the way it used to was done. That's the way we used to do it.
Until private prison industrial complex.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't even see it right in our faces. And we're so concerned about the Jacksons, these people who got millions of dollars that don't even have to worry about their kids going to a regular school. You know, we're worried about what the next star is doing, what the next entertainment, what's the next song out. We're worried about the wrong things, and this is why our kids are being swallowed up by the system. That's why our kids, you know, the charter schools are not really to help us. Charter schools is to introduce into the education system a private entity, a corporation that's basically going to make money off of our children. That's basically what it is, and get tax-free credit for it. And believe it or not, our president is all for charter schools. Okay? Our president
They want to privatize just about every government entity. They even want to take Social Security, and they want to take all the money for Social Security that you and I have paid in all these years. And then one day they're market bust, and there goes our Social Security. So they want to take all the money in America and give it to the elite for that.
Yeah. Well, you heard about that trying to audit the federal government, the Federal Reserve, which I think it's not going to really be a real audit, and I don't think they're really going to be transparent about what's going on. You know, I really don't think that's ever going to happen.
The Federal Reserve is privately owned.
It's privately owned. It's a privately owned company with the name of federal on it to make it sound like it's part of us, of our government.
They're as federal as Federal Express and United Parcel Service.
Exactly.
It's no better than UPS.
I tell you, Stephanie, and I'm sorry, I forget your host name.
Salita and Brian.
Okay, so Salita and Brian, you know, I just learned that this month that the Federal Reserve is a privately owned entity.
Really?
Yeah, the thing is that I didn't know much about politics or what's going on around me. I understand the people who you mentioned who are asleep and who think things are just running along fine. I understand that because I was one of those people for so long. But then when they secretly arrest and murder the weakest one in your family and refuse to give you any records about it, refuse to tell you how they murdered them, refuse to do anything that's on paper that they're supposed to do, then you find out, wait a minute, this sort of thing only, you know, in my dreams, it only happens in China or Germany. It doesn't happen in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but and we want to keep it like, because I said we have this facade that
but
America is the best
here.
Thing going. Huh?
It does happen here. It happens here.
Yeah.
And so it's
it
just a total surprise to people.
Yeah.
And it'll happen more. It will spread if nothing is done.
But you know what? It's been happening. It was happening way before we even existed. We just didn't know it. I mean, our generation or the people prior to us didn't realize, just like we are going along with our lives, like everything, you know, struggling, trying to make things happen for us just to make our family, keep our families fed and all that. That's all we think about, you know. And the bigger picture is the stuff that they're doing behind the curtains. And that's what's really making stuff happen. You know, when I learned that the Federal Reserve has a lot to do with the inflation, how they can move stuff around to make us be in a recession, it's not the president. It's the Federal Reserve. It's the Federal Reserve that can do that. I got somebody coming in. Just one second. Let me see who this is. Hello, welcome to Say Your Piece. How can I help you?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Uh-huh.
Hello, Salita. This is Ted Harge.
Hi, how are you, sir?
I'm great. We are friends on Facebook. And, Brian,
yes.
I saw your post for the show tonight. So thank you for posting that.
All right.
All right. I've been listening for about the last 20 minutes or so. I do have to go, but I just wanted to call in and give my support to the show because you guys are talking about some very important issues, and it's great to hear people bring them out and be passionate about getting the word out, and we have to educate each other. We have to know what's going on, and we have to somehow mobilize each other, and I speak especially for my community, which I call the World Black Community. We have to mobilize to make change, you know.
Yes.
And I admire people like yourself that do shows and that want to bring these issues out to everybody. Some of the stuff that was brought out by your guest, I didn't catch your name. I appreciate her passion.
My name is Mary M-A-R-O, and my own line is Love.
Okay.
Justice Issues.
And Mary, I so much appreciate your passion and everything. Wow, I mean, some of this stuff is shocking, what they're doing to kids, you know. I didn't realize it was that bad. Oh, my goodness. So I just want to thank you guys. I shared the link on my page. I also put a comment in there to ask you to post that show in one of my groups on Facebook, which is called the Bull of the Day group.
The what now?
It's called the Bull. I'm just going to say the Bullshit of the Day group.
Oh, okay. I got you.
All right. And what we do is I just want to take all the negative things that are happening with people trying to hold us back so we can put it in one place and know what's going on, do something about it, and still not litter our whole lives with all the negativity that they would love us to focus on and be lost in fighting all the bull crap that they do, you know, where we can take care of that, but we can also be positive and know that we can accomplish anything that we want to accomplish. It's just a matter of letting other people know that they can do that as well, you know. So
exactly.
Thank you so much for just
thank you. Okay, I like that.
I love that. So continue on, and I'll see you.
I turn off.
Okay.
All right.
Bye bye.
Okay. I was like, thank you, and I love the idea, Miss Mary. You said the same thing. Thank you very much, and I'm hoping that my show is doing something for somebody. And the more you guys bring people to us, the more we can get the information out. The idea that Rosalyn and Brian brought Mr. Smith to us, you brought Catherine to us. I mean, this to me, it's awesome. And I think I'm trying to decide whether I want to do this 5 days a week. If I could do this 5 days a week, I know I could touch much, much more than just doing it every Saturday. And I was telling Brian earlier, I know, you know, he has his own life and he does his own thing, and I don't want to always have to bog him down on his Saturday evening. See, you can tell I have nothing to do because I'm here every Saturday at 10 o'clock, and he's right there. Matter of fact, last week, Brian was on vacation, and he called in and was dedicated enough to talk to me or talk to us while he was on vacation in Texas. So to me, that made me feel good that he thought it was important enough for him, which he didn't have to do, but he did it. So I know he's dedicated to the cause just as well as each and every one of you guys who are out there listening. And, Mary, each time you call in, I love it. I mean, because you have information I don't know anything about. And that's what we're here for, is to give each other the information and take it for it. I think that ideal about the parent advocate, I think that is awesome. That
I want to say
awesome.
Something.
I just even could have thought that.
I want
now,
that something that we could definitely check in our area.
Yeah,
and I kind of, Mary, you may know something more about this, but I was told in this area there's a difference between a PTA and a PTO, and that most principals want a, I think, a PTO because a PTO, I think, has less power than the PTA.
I'm not real familiar with that. About PTAs, PTO.
I was told that, and I may have it backwards, but one of them, and I think it's the PTA, has power to advocate certain things that goes on in the school. And so principals mm-hmm. don't necessarily care for PTA because to them it pulls away some of their power. They would prefer a PTO, which basically is like a backbone to the school. You don't really have the power. You just basically go along with the program and back them up. But to be productive, you want to be a PTA. And I'm going to be looking for someone that actually knows the difference between those PTA and PTOs.
Okay, I'm looking it up right now, Brian. Give me a second here. I'm going to try to get you that answer.
Yeah, because
give me one
second.
Whatever
the case may be, I know that if the parents sign over a list of authority to the PTA to send a representative with their child anytime they go into disciplinary meetings, I think it would be effective to have a parent advocate there until the mm-hmm. mom and dad can get there, because these people are not giving us respect. They are taking children into these disciplinary meetings and not even calling mom or dad first. So we need somebody there on the spot every day. Our children are just like the police are there on the spot every day. So we need to wake up and smell the coffee and stop our children being railroaded into jail from the school.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely, in a lot, you know, a lot of schools that's going on where not only that, Mary, but some of the parts that I've seen in these schools is, I don't know if it's like that, but in our area, they're claim we're a community school, but they're sending black children and poor white kids, their communities, passing up schools that they could go closer to send them to other areas to keep those schools in those mostly white areas open, but populating them with poor black and poor whites, busing them sometimes to another city in the case of an area we live in. Busing them to keep those schools open, and the numbers of the schools that are closer to them are lower. And I think it's a grave injustice, first of all, to those parents who have a trouble getting to the schools when we have to travel to another town to get to the school. They may not even drive. So if that's the case, they have to catch a taxi or pay someone or find someone that would take them away across town when they have schools that are maybe around the corner, maybe four or five blocks from them. And that's one of the big problems we have in this area. We have even a case where we have children in the black area that's being bused out of the neighborhood where they have a multi-multi-million-dollar school that's been built a few years back, and they've been bused to a total another city to another school, which is totally uncalled for, but it's being done. And we everybody know that each school gets what they call MFP dollars. That's minimum foundation money. I don't remember the last acronym, but it's minimum foundation money that's set up by the federal government that trickles down through the state. And each school gets paid per student. So if you get paid per student and you have more students in your school than the school school, and those students would be closer to the school that's in the neighborhood, guess what? That school has more resources to work with because they get more money. So, I mean, it's sad, and a lot of people don't see it, and some of your school board members, they don't act on it because they have to adhere to the residents, and they say, well, you know, that's what they're used to doing. Well, they were used to doing it because you guys started it years ago busing them to those schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trying to let them go to their community schools. Their community, they're in districts that's paying for these schools close to them, but their kids not even in the district, not even going to the school that their tax dollars pay for.
Yeah, and that's bad. That's real bad.
Yeah.
Now,
so,
you know what? You asked that question earlier about PTOs and PTAs.
Right.
PTA has been around for over 105 years.
Okay.
PTA is an affiliation, an organization. PTOs are individually, like, per school. You can have a PTO per school. PTA is national. PTOs are something you can start on your own. You can
more
start a
power,
PTO.
Maybe
yeah.
No PTO then.
PTA have a lot more power than a PTO is. And that's why a lot of schools prefer a PTO, or the principals, like you said earlier, prefer a PTO, because a PTO, you don't have that much power. You're just a...
Now, which one don't have that much power?
The PTOs don't have a lot of power.
That's
PTAs,
what I thought. The PTAs have the power, but not the PTOs.
Yeah, because PTAs are national. It's like a union.
Like a union, right. And the PTO is just
like
a local organization. Well, that's why the principals, here, Neil, that's why the principal is into those. That's why the principals would prefer a PTO, because a PTO has less power or no power at all versus a PTA is much stronger. So that's some good information, and people need to know that.
Yes, know the difference between a PTA and a PTO.
Right.
And if you start, you can start a PTO. It won't be nothing for you to start a PTO, because they actually, on this website, actually shows you how you can get a 501(c) for your PTO. You can start your own PTO. PTA is not the same. A PTA,
right.
You pay dues. You got to remember, you pay dues and you're affiliated.
Uh-huh.
A PTO, you can start it yourself.
Right. So that's a big difference. And I think a lot of people are unfamiliar. I was told that years ago by someone, I don't even remember who it was at the time, but they did hit me to that there's a difference, and you don't want the one, because one of them is just weak. The one of them is at the mercy of the principal, which is the PTO.
Yes.
The PTO, I figured it was the PTO, because our PTA, the man, that I heard that years ago. I always heard of PTAs. But the PTA is one that can actually advocate and push the school to do things that the principal may not want to do.
Exactly. Mary. Hello, Mary?
I don't know. Is she still there?
No, I think she... Let me
might
see.
Have lost her.
Yeah, let me see.
I'm here.
Hello?
Okay,
Mary, I'm
here.
Here.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Mary, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Now, with this parent advocacy, do you have... I don't want to say a description of their duties. Do you have something like that put together already?
I envisioned it, and I have not written it out, but I would like for every parent and teacher organization, whether it's a PTO or PTA, I would like for you to please have a parent advocate in the school every day that school is open. Please do that. You can take volunteers from your community and volunteers from among the parents in the school. Somebody should be in every school every day that it's open, so that any children who come up for discipline will have a mommy or daddy there.
And you
because
know,
they will have a representative there, and they will not be allowed to go in to meetings and incriminate themselves, because they are backing police cars right up to the elementary school, and they are tasering our children. The youngest child to get tasered was a 6-year-old autistic girl by the police. And so these people, even though they're little kids, they are facing adult punishment. And we have over 2,000 children in America who are now serving life without parole. So I want you to know that our children are being subjected to the same sentences as adults. And, for instance, they are being, if two little boys fight now, they don't just get maybe a suspension or something, they actually get written assault and battery. So
yes,
these are serious offenses. They're starting criminal records on our children for juvenile little kitty crimes. They had two twin boys, 7 years old. Well, I'm sorry, they weren't twins. One was 7 and one was 8. They were brothers. They were fighting on a school bus over something that started at home. And what two brothers don't fight? They left that school bus in handcuffs. So these are serious things that are happening to our children, and we need a parent advocate every day that our children are in school. And I'm just begging each parent, when you register your children this year, talk to your PTA or PTO, join your PTA or PTO, and let them know that you want to start a parent advocacy program at your school. Y'all decide how it goes. But I do know this. I do know that you will need to get the parents to sign for you to step in and be their advocate in your absence so that nobody can keep them from going to that disciplinary meeting with your son or your daughter.
I think
nobody
I really
can do
that is an awesome idea. I really, really, I think that is a hellified idea. I'm going to be honest with you. I would have never thought of that. And that's why I'm trying to say, Mary, you need to put your props where the props are due. Why don't you put something together and send it to us? Because I would love to push it.
Now,
well, thank you. I certainly will do that. And I just want y'all to know that it is God. I have to give credit back to God. God tells me things that need to be done because I pray and I say, Lord, we're living in a very unjust society. And he gives me these ideas, and I thank God for you for the opportunity to put those ideas to the public. And the only other thing, it is off of education, if I could sidestep a minute, and that is that it's time out for all these candlelight visuals when we see people getting ready to execute the mentally ill or like they are in Texas on Tuesday, they're getting ready to execute a man who they know is absolutely mentally ill. They know that, and it's illegal. The Supreme Court has ruled it to be against the Constitution, but Texas is intending to do it anyway on Tuesday. And what we need to do is do more than these marches and candlelight vigils. When they use your tax money to do something illegal, like kill the mentally ill or kill people like Troy Davis, whose guilt are not proved, you need to do more than just march. We need to start suing because taxpayers have a say in how their tax money is spent. If they spend your tax money to buy poison and they're using it to break the law, which is kill the mentally ill or kill people whose guilt is not proven, you have the right. You have a stake in that. You are taxpayers. You are stakeholders. You need to, these death penalty groups need to get together and start suing. Because of civil rights, everybody want to march like the civil rights. And that's only one thing that we did in the 60s and 70s. We did not just march, because we'd be still sitting on the back of the bus. We did two other things. We marched. Okay, that's fine. We also boycotted, because until you affect your money, you're not doing much. And number three, we had lawsuits. If you can remember, we won major victories in court. So until you bring on board the other two things, which are file lawsuits and boycott, you have not really launched a successful that's going to get you the results that you want. So
let me add something to this, if I can. One of the problems, and what you're saying, Mary, is good. One of the problems that we have is we have a lot of people that don't know the system. And when I speak of don't know
exactly,
they're not educated. Because you have some
yes.
persons that are turning people away, not allowing the people, telling them they are don't have a right or they're disruptive, and they cannot stay within the school. And in our area, it is up to the principal who comes on that campus or not. The principal can actually keep the school board member off the campus. The school board member who represents that school can be put off a school campus by the principal in our area. I don't know about a lot of other areas. So I think people need to go and they have to do some research and check the laws and find out. You do have some that will allow and are cooperative, but then you got some, especially those who are not doing what they should be doing, that are trying to back the system when it comes to cornering us and putting us where they think we should be. We need to check the laws and make sure we have the law on our side and find out. If not, they always about the enemy.
We need to check the law and make sure the law is on our side. And we need to make the law be on our side. If they got a school that will not let a parent advocate be there and they got a policeman there, then the parents need to not send their kids there another day until that
change.
That's
right.
And they would change
right.
it that week. We are the power. And we need to stop asking permission to be what we already are. We are the power.
Man. Amen. Amen.
We the
Amen.
Power. And we need to
I
do not ask permission to be what some. If God gave you a baby, he told you to be the protector of that baby. That comes
That's
with
right.
childbirth. And you don't need any principal's permission to be a protector for your child because God is in head. And so if that school tells you that you cannot be there every hour that your child is there if you want to be, then you...
Now, I want to bring this point. We're saying is, and I agree with you in theory, but before we can get to that point, we have to be organized. Because one individual keeping that child out of school because people won't let him come on doesn't mean that's like a drop of water in a glass. What we have to do, first of all, we have to organize to have at least the majority or a grave number, not necessarily majority, of parents on board so that if this comes up, we then have numbers to fight with because one individual is not going to change anything in the school system. I found out in fighting school systems that you have to have the people organized, and that's our biggest problem as a people, that we are so unorganized. We're so disenfranchised. We're such crabs in a barrel. As long as I'm making my dollar, they not mess with me. As long as they don't mess my basketball program or my football program, we're okay. And I say that to say, personally, here in our city, we have watched them strip the gifted program, watched them strip the honors program, watched them strip personal classes that teach auto mechanics, that taught a lot of different things to our students, and we said nothing. But as soon as they talk about messing with the sports, we jump up and down and we want to pull guns in. And I'm not literally pull guns, but, I mean, we got upset. So we need to organize and get focused on the true things that count when it comes to our community because, what you're saying, I totally agree with, but we have to do it collectively because as long as they get us individually, they'll beat us every time.
Yep, they sure will. You're right. They will definitely get us every time, and they know it. That's the reason they know that we have issues with coming together.
And
they know all our weaknesses, and they use them against us in every avenue and every aspect of our lives. They know what our weakness is, and we continue to show our hands. And that is a big problem. You are so right.
Either we show our hand or we sell out, one of the two.
Or we sell out. We show your hand or sell out.
We go to the highest bidder.
Yep. You're right. You are so right about that. You still there, Mary?
I'm going to mute it out for a second. You know, it goes back to
I'm here. Do you hear me?
Yeah, now
go ahead. I hear
you. Okay. You know, I'm the most cyberstalked person in America because of the fact that, you know, they secretly arrested and murdered my brother in Memphis Shelby County Jail, and they want to keep that a secret. In spite of the fact that I've written about it prolifically and I'm on radio regularly, they still have hopes of hiding that murder because they intend to prosecute police for it or even question them for it. And so also because I advocate for the mentally ill, I advocate for children, I advocate for whoever is being dogged out in the justice system, and I try to make people aware of these individual cases like Catherine Connor and like children who are facing tasers and arrests from school, and they don't they don't like us to get together on these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the first step of getting together is, like y'all are doing, spreading awareness. And so they want to stop it at the first step, and that is spreading awareness. So that's why there's censorship. That's why they keep introducing these censorship bills. And
mm-hmm.
I want everybody to be aware of CISPA, CISPA, And please don't let them take over the internet. If they do, then they will shut down a whole lot of good communication. We'll find another way. And slavery used to be drugs. So we'll find another way. But this is a wonderful way for people to talk about issues and to share and to reach across the divide about race and class and realize that we're all people together and we all basically want the same things for our families and for ourselves. We just want to be free. We just want to live as well as possible. We want to promote security, but we don't want to give up freedom for it. So I think that we all have these commonalities, and they don't want, you know, a lot of people have never had intercourse, and when I say intercourse, I mean talking, dialogue, with black people. And when they can turn on radio shows and hear us talking and say, oh, okay, well, they're talking, that makes sense. Believe it or not, when I was in my 30s, I met a lady who told me that she had never seen a black person in person until she was in her mid-20s. And she moved out of Washington State, where she lived on an apple farm. She moved to Seattle after college, and she saw her first black person. So a lot of people are not aware of other cultures like they should be and what have you. They're neighbors. But they get a truer sense of who we are and what we're about listening to your show than they do looking at TV, where they portray a different reality, a reality that's not real. And so it's wonderful to have these opportunities on Blog Talk and through our internet blogs and our posts at Facebook and at Twitter, where I am CoffeeTime, K-O-F-F-I-E-T-I-M-E. These are great opportunities, and you and your co-hosts are a big part of that, and I just want to thank you again for all that you do, the sacrifices that you make of your Saturday nights to give people a forum to bring forward issues and to not just talk about problems like your other guest said, but talk about solutions like we're doing now.
Exactly, exactly. And I want to thank you because you just enlightened us completely in a whole nother light, and I love that, and that's why this is the whole purpose of this show. Say your piece. You might have something we could use. We might have something you can use. You never know. That's the whole point of having this show like this. And I want to thank you, too, because, you know, give yourself props, too, because you came to with a great idea. I mean, to me, I would have never, the way I talk and the things I do, I would have never came up with that. And it's something simple as a parent advocate. That is an awesome thing.
Can we give that phone number out again real slow for those who may be listening? We may have some more.
Sure.
Maybe we'll get some input. Sometimes we forget to give that number out.
Okay. Our number is 647-677-1749. That's 347. I'm sorry. I said 647. I'm sorry. It's 347-677-1749. Let me see. I think I have somebody on hold. Just one second, you guys. Say your piece. Hello.
Hello?
Yes?
Yes, I was just listening.
Oh, you were just listening? You have no comment for
us? No, ma'am.
Have you learned anything since we've been talking?
Yes, I was tuning in and out. I had to put the phone down for a minute.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Thank you for listening.
Sure.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, it's marvelous. It's marvelous. I just want to just say real quickly that we're having a justice rally in Atlanta on Saturday, August 18th. I mean, and Reverend Pinckney, that's Reverend Edward Pinckney, who's a great human and civil rights advocate out of Benton Harbor, Michigan, is going to join me here in Atlanta, and we're going to protest mass incarceration, the death penalty, the Johnny Cochran firm, which is COINTELPRO operation operating in Johnny Cochran's name, all lawyer fraud, because a lot of people are suffering from lawyer fraud. Their lawyers are not giving them the best defense they can and on civil or criminal cases, judicial misconduct and NDAA, the idea of these concentration camps they want to put people in, and right now it's on temporary hold. Because we have Judge Forrest, thank God for Judge Forrest, that's Catherine Forrest out of Manhattan. She put a temporary hold on these NDAA concentration camps that they've already included. They've already passed the bill They intend to put people in America in concentration camps. And I want you to know that wherever there are prisons, there is a biomass incinerator nearby for some reason, either on or near the prison grounds, and they're also putting biomass incinerators throughout America in black neighborhoods. In the future, those might be Nazi ovens. So be aware that concentration camps are coming your way just as soon as the Obama administration can overcome Judge Catherine Forrest's order against it. She said they're unconstitutional and she does not want them in America, but the Obama administration asked her to reconsider that, and she refused to reconsider it, and so they didn't address it anymore right now because I think they will win re-election first. But these are the things that are facing you in America, concentration camp.
Now, what did you say? It's called bio what?
Biomass incinerator. They're building biomass incinerators throughout America, and according to the foremost expert in environmental racism, and his name is Dr. Robert Bullard, said that they're targeting black neighborhoods for these biomass incinerators. And the excuse right now is they're building them to burn wood. But the thing is that they're very environmentally toxic. They're very dangerous for people's health. So that's what, you know, the experts are saying. Over 14 organizations like the American Heart Association and many others are protesting biomass incinerators because they're very dangerous for people. But
okay,
I'm
you
thinking
said
that.
You said they're
I'm thinking that they're worse than that. I'm thinking that they're potentially Nazi ovens. So the Heart Association doesn't have the same concern about them that I do. They're thinking of them as being toxic and polluting the air with burning wood and what have you. But I'm thinking, they're putting them by prison in black neighborhoods. Are these Nazi ovens? So I take it a step further and always look at things from the standpoint of human rights abuses.
Now, let me say this. They're saying it's for burning woods. Wood. Now, there's not, if you think about our cities, there's not a lot of wooden houses left. Most of the time, if you go into the inner city in the black neighborhoods, there's houses, but not of them, a lot of them are not made of wood, unless you go
well,
to the
see,
south.
What I'm,
because
what I'm
the
projecting
inner city
is
has
that it's not
cement.
Wood they want to burn, sister.
That's what I was wondering. Because they're saying wood. No, I don't think you're going to find a lot of wood in the inner city.
I am very concerned with this presidential election coming up. And I've talked to relatives. I've talked to other colleagues. And everybody's saying is that I give Obama a hard time, meaning we don't have a choice. Well, my thing is we're looking at the state of the education system. We're looking at the state of the employment problem within our community. We're at the bottom all around. And I'm not saying that the president can pull us out of the bottom. But being the state of our condition, shouldn't there be some effort made, at least an attempt. If it doesn't work, fine, but at least we can see that a genuine effort was put forth to try to bring people at the bottom of the barrel out with some kind of program. Am I the only one that's just beating on this soap dish and I'm just wrong?
Well, you know what? I'm glad you said that. No, you're not wrong, and I'm trying, you know me, and you've had this discussion before. I'm trying to see the lighter side of the situation with our president. I really am. I'm not trying to put him back in office because he's black. I'm trying to see what he's doing. And the more I'm learning and the researching I'm doing and getting the opinion of other people, I'm seeing that a lot of stuff that people are saying as far as all other African-Americans, like Mary, for instance, saying that he is not doing enough for us. And to me, he's not. He's not doing enough for us. We have, out of all the races, we have the highest unemployment rate. What is that by? What is wrong with us having the highest unemployment rate. There's something not being said.
Well,
there's something not being taught. Something is not being pinpointed and taken care of.
In my point, when you come and talk to us, you said tell us that we need to basically stop whining and crying and do something. But then every other group has something set up for them by you or those before you, which you either institute or you continued. That's my whole thing is that so every president before you has catered to their constituents first. So people say, well, just because he's a black president, don't look like he's supposed to be a president for the black community. Well, every white president has been a president for the white community. We're not asking to be a president for the black community. Just consider us.
Include us.
Right. We have been excluded all of these years. So at least include us. We don't want everything. We just want equality. We have yet to get equality since we've been in this wretched place.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been fighting an uphill battle. Yeah, it's just like, you know, you're trying to cut a tree down. You know, we've been chopping at this tree, and we've been chopping at it. Don't get me wrong. We've been making some strides, and some part before we can get the whole tree down, some other parts of the tree is sprouting back out, and that's a problem that we're having. We're headway that we've made, and then we lose ground. But my whole point is if every president before Obama, all the way up to George Bush, has done something to better their own community who already had it, then definitely when it comes to our plight in jobs, education, housing, the laws, there's some of these laws that are so biased that definitely, you know, something can be said. I mean, if you go down, I always tell my kids and I always tell people I know, at least go down fighting. I can commend you for trying and you lost. That's one thing. You don't try. I take something real simple, and I'll let you guys talk. Marcus Garvey. It's been proven that Garvey was set up. They do it all the time to other people that passed on just to clear their name. Why is it that the president turned down a pardon for Marcus Garvey? Something that's basically symbolic, that was on paper, that most black people were for, how could he turn that down? To me, it was slapped in the face for a black man to turn down the pardon of another black man, which had been proven through their own government record that he was innocent.
Well, not only that, you got to think about the people that been in prison that was pardoned. They said he hadn't pardoned
not one
white.
This was easier than
that,
though. Garvey was much easier than those in prison. You see what I mean? I'm giving him something easy.
Well, you got to
understand. I saw my face on paper. Garvey's dead and gone. All he wanted was to clear his name after your own government, Mr. President, said that we set him up. It wasn't true. So clear his name.
Yes.
So that was that's easier to do than people that's in prison because he's dead and gone. It's just paperwork. But you denied that. So we can't get paperwork done. How do you think we're going to get anybody out of prison? You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Yep. You're right.
It's so in your face. But as soon as Israel comes on him because they don't like what he said, he bows down to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all the dirt that they're doing, all the wrong that they're doing, and it's in our. They're getting billions of dollars. Just think about it. We could get just a little bit of that money they're spending on Israel, which has no natural interest for us, none whatsoever. We could get this lie about a national interest. We have no national interest in Israel whatsoever. Israel has never done anything for the United States. So what reason we had to protect them other than to keep another one of their brethren in power? But we could take that money. That money could go right into this country to help create jobs or anything else. Hell, people could live off those billions that they're giving Israel, and we could be doing mighty well. The businesses would flourish.
There's a reason why there's a partnership between the United States and Israel. There is a reason why we might not see it. We don't agree with it because I don't either. I'm with you on that.
There's a reason why. It's called domination.
Yeah.
And Israel has all of the nuclear weapons that they have. is America's strong arm into that part of the world where they could actually go through there and they can actually have Israel do what they want to do. It's a political strong arm that they're trying to use. That's why they claim they only want Israel to be able to control or have nuclear weapons. But I go back to the same thing. The money is being spent on this country, which is really no natural interest other than a greedy world domination that's taken over, that we could put into our system and our people here, both black, white, whoever else that's in America, that could help America, but it's not about the people. That's what we got to remember, and people listening got to remember. This government could care less. Democrat, Republican, neither one are no good. All of them are nothing. When it comes,
well,
to
they all together, really, to be honest with
they
you,
they are. It's saying
they're all trying
to get to Houston.
Together.
They're just taking two different highways to get there, but they're
all the same. Yep.
One is a bus and one is a car, and it doesn't matter. They're both going to roll on wheels and going to make it there. But the problem is that we're so caught up in this Republican Democrat feeding into this crazy stuff. They got you brainwashed into thinking that there's some difference between the two. There's no difference between the two. If there was a difference between the two, then you would see a drastic change. You don't see any drastic changes. You only see a few little laws here and there. Think about it.
You're right. You're so right. And that's the reason why, like, a lot of stuff that's being signed into power, it has to do with our president. I mean, I'm not taking the spokes off of him. A lot of the stuff that's dealing with the spying and all that stuff, a lot of that has to do with him. He's signing a lot of this stuff into office, whether he's being forced, whether he's haggling, whether he's bargaining for something else. These things are being put in place.
What about that wiretapping? Remember
the wiretapping.
Expired.
George Bush.
He
went on and did it again. He signed it again.
Right. Exactly.
Now, believe it or not, what they're trying to do with the internet, YouTube, is getting together with the I can't remember who else is with. But anything that you put on YouTube that seems like you took it from a news show, say something that happened controversial in the news, they're saying that's called copyright infringements if you put it on YouTube. That's another way to slip and slowly get into the media, social media, to pull out all that information that was put on there.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
This is what it's tracked.
Yeah. Say they found, somebody said they found a UFO, and the UFO was for real, and we've been fighting this for years. And a news show shows that, and somebody takes it and put it on YouTube. Well, what they're going to start doing is watching that, and YouTube is going to pull it off of there. So if it is something going on, we won't know. That's another way of getting into our social media. That's another way of getting our – that's one of our ways of getting communication with each other. Why
so that,
shut that down?
In other words, they're going to try to get it – in other words, they talk about China, and they want to make China
feel
so bad, but they want to move into the same, or they want to use a different way of, a tactic of doing it, so they don't say we're doing like China by censoring, but we are censoring.
Yes, that's right. That's a form of censorship.
And the same thing, remember, they use the same laws to enslave black people.
Yeah.
They want to say, well, it's the law. You can do anything about it. It was the law. Because the law doesn't make it right.
And you know what? A lot of this is coming from, and this is just my opinion, a lot of this is coming from people don't believe what happened in Aurora, Colorado. People don't believe that guy is the same guy who's on that picture. That's another thing we have to keep in mind. People think that was not the idea that people did not pass away or die in that situation, but this whole thing was a governmental back this whole thing up. It was supposed to happen. They're saying that there was two people instead of one person. They're saying that the door was propped open so that it gave the other person time to come in. You know, all of this, they're saying that that guy really didn't have nothing to do with it. So all of a sudden now you want to censor us. You didn't want to do it before, but now you want to censor us, like the thing with the 9/11. people to this day, there's a lot of people that believe that was staged and it was not for real, and that it was set up where that building blew up from the inside and not from the outside. So it's a lot of stuff that's going on. They trying to stop it because maybe there is some truth in it. You understand what I'm saying? If and that's a way for them to stop us from getting that information, they're going to do it. And if they know, if I sit and I'm watching a YouTube video that has a million hits, that's a million more people that know something happened, right?
Right.
So if I can stop that by telling them they can't play it or holler copyright infringement, then I'm going to do that.
Wow.
You have to think about it. Let me start somewhere. I got to start somewhere because everybody knows how important and how powerful the Internet is. They know that. According to them, they created the Internet. They didn't expect for the Internet to get so much out of hand, and now they're trying to rein it in. But it's too late because there's so much information out there. You know, you got to think about it. Like she was saying earlier, if we get rid of social media, that's not going to stop us because it wasn't there before, and we still got information out.
Thank you.
You're not going to stop what we need to know. It's going to get out because it's meant to get out. There's going to be a way that we're going to talk before the computers even existed. We had information.
Thank you.
So if we have to go back to that, then you know what? That's what we're going to do.
Go back to
Thank
what?
Thank you, sister. Thank
go
you,
without,
sister.
Without having the Internet, we had ways of communicating with each other. We did it. We did it for years before the computer was put in place. So
yes.
It's not going to be if they think they have the mind that we're that unintelligent, that we're not going to find other ways to communicate, they're dead wrong. Just like with
wrong.
The phones. Everybody have a cell phone. You know, we want to make it sound like they don't know anything. They're tracking us on our cell phone. If your cell phone have a GPS system on your cell phone, as long as it's tapping into them lines that go across the United States, the what they call it, the Internet highway or whatever, that every time you get on the phone and make a phone call, it beams off of one of them lines. How do you think they keep up with us? How do you think they know what we're talking about? Okay? They're using every opportunity they can to get to us to hear what we're saying. So they're wiretapping anything that we touch. We don't even know it's being wiretapped. And that's why it's good for us to know this information, to know that it's out there and that they're doing this to us. We need to stop getting, and the whole thing is, the whole agenda is to keep them distracted. The main word is keeping them distracted. And if as long as we can keep them distracted, we can deal with the violence, we can deal with them killing our people, we can deal with them handcuffing them and then lying and saying they blow their head off, we can keep on. And believe it or not, the entertainment business is in the midst of it too. Because if we can keep our kids thinking that it's all right to kill each other, if we can keep our kids shooting at each other and fighting and videotaping them fighting each other, if we can keep this going, it's awesome. Then they're distracted from doing or paying attention to what's really going on. And that's why we need to maybe go back to the basics to a certain extent.
Oh, girl, I love you.
I mean, maybe we're going to have to. I mean, I'm pushing the computer, but I'm pushing it for the educational reasons. But if we have to go back to the basics, then maybe that's what we need to do. We might need to go back to the basics and find other ways of being able to communicate with each other. Because literally, they know everything we talk about. They know what we're doing. You know, we don't take it like that. We don't think technology is to that extent. And when you don't know something, of course you're going to be in the blind or don't know that it's literally happening. Every day is something different. They have every way in the world to contact us. Number one thing they can use is your Social Security number. They can find you anywhere in the United States through your Social Security number. That's the number one thing they can do. They can find your kids. They find you, your husband, your dog, your cat through a number.
Practically.
We don't know. Yeah, practically everything. So we don't even think of that as being important or, you know, don't even worry about that. That's not really happening. But, yeah, it is. Oh, y'all so paranoid. Well, you know what? Who created this paranoid state? We didn't.
We've been at ease, but we don't have to be paranoid.
We've never been at ease. We've never been at ease.
It's always been the same. But, you know, you have some people that figure they're not in our world, so to speak. And the things that we talk about, it's made up in our mind. We bring it upon ourselves. They just don't have that problem. And they are so brainwashed, they don't even know when they're being used. They have this mentality that we're all the same and equal. And you know, it takes one day for the rug to be yanked out from under them for them to come to reality. To know at the time that they thought that as long as they were playing by the rules, as long as they were doing things to make the other person profitable, nothing was said. But as soon as they stepped out of line, that rug got yanked.
Yeah.
And they found out what they thought of them. And it's amazing how so many of us go, and some don't get to that point because they always do what the other side want done. But if you can't bring the community along with you, what good is for one or two of you to make it or think you've made it, and
exactly.
Then your whole community is suffering? It's no good.
Yeah.
It's no good at the top by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I always want friends around, some friends around, family.
Yeah.
You can't bring them with you. You hadn't made anything. All you did was at one in a million shot.
Yeah.
We have to help to open opportunities up. And I say that to say, go back to the president, that just because we have a black president, we have to look at those people that surrounding this black president conscious or have a genuine concern for his constituents, his home base. That base, he got over 90% of the vote. What is he doing, or is trying to do, to help them? Now, I know he tried to push that health care plan, and I know they beat him up bad on it. I know we didn't get, it was stripped down to like taking bolts off a bicycle, down to almost nothing. But what about the things that, really, now I won't say really, man, because the health care did matter to us also. But what are some of the things that really hit home with us that we've been neglected for so long that nobody has
so awkward.
Talk about?
I think it would be entertaining to see you go up to somebody and smell their hair.
It is entertaining, but it's awkward as fuck.
Like,
Hello?
Hi there.
Yes.
I'm on the air?
Yes, you are.
Okay, sorry about that. We were having a conversation and didn't hear that we were on the air. Sorry about that. I just have one concern, if I may share that.
Go ahead.
I'm a high school student, so I know quite a bit about the problems with education. But my concern here is that this is a chat line about education being monitored and adminned by niggers.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Okay. Go ahead, Brian. What was you saying? I don't know. I don't have time for that. And I already unsaid that once, and I'll say it again. If you're coming on the show being ignorant, then don't call in my show. I don't want you calling in my show, and I will cut you off. Point blank. I don't have time for that.
But it's amazing how some people get all of the balls in the world when it comes to being behind a mic or behind a telephone.
Yes, or behind a telephone or a computer.
But they won't come out and open because they don't have the backbone to stand up in someone's face and say what they say over the air because they don't... You know, they don't have, they're cowards.
Yes.
They're cowards just like their four parents before them. They're evil,
yes.
No good snakes. And they think whatever they do is right, and you can't call their hand. Well, it's a new day. And I want to say, I had to have stand up a new day. This black man is going to call it out the way it is and don't care what you think of. You can call me whatever you want to call me. But see, I know what you really are, and I know where you came from. And I know who you came from. So you guys can sit out there and try to call and disrupt the show because you don't like the truth being told about you and your people and how you've truly been the one all these years who have ruined the country. And now you want to try to come back. And, no, I come on Obama as much as I think I need to. But let the truth be told. He didn't ruin his country. Y'all ruined the country because of greed. And then you so busy watching black people, and while you watching black people, the white presidents who are friends of other wealthy people who are putting them in office have been ripping this country off for years. We want to talk about patriotic. So unpatriotic is these people in the United States who send jobs overseas for a buck and who send their money to Switzerland and other places to avoid paying tax. Now, how unpatriotic is that?
And you know what? It's not only Mitt. I'm calling, like I said, it ain't only Mitt that's done this in the past. He's not the only one who's done it. It's a lot of those presidents who signed bills to send our money overseas. On our jobs overseas, and their money into Swiss bank accounts. He's not the only one.
And I've been hearing about
the only
Swiss
reason
bank
why they're focusing on him is because he's running for president. That's the only reason why they're focusing on him.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't, he would continue doing what he's been doing. Okay.
And
when
notice,
over
when
with,
he was first,
he's
when
he
was in primary, we didn't hear
doing.
Anything about that.
No, we didn't hear nothing about it. But
nothing
it was
about
always
it.
There. And it's a lot of people that own these own private corporations that have we can go down the line of big corporations that we spend our money into that literally have jobs overseas, that literally have Swiss bank accounts, that have bank accounts in the Cayman Islands and stuff. He's not the only one. It's a lot of them that do that. And we go to the stores and we buy their products that they take the jobs and Taiwan, China, all these other places literally make the clothes and the items and the products and bring them, ship them right back over here. They do it all the time, and we steady support them. We steady support them because you know why? Because we're not intelligent enough to know that. We're not concerned about the idea that our jobs are being overseas. It's only a concern now because Mitt Romney is bringing it to the light. Other than that, we wouldn't care. You think about the Nike company. You think about Adidas. You think about Reebok. You think about all the – and we got to have a pair of those shoes. We got – our kids got to wear them $150 shoes. Guess how much it costs for them to make them $150 shoes? Maybe $15 at the most over in a country where they don't have a union, okay, where they don't have anybody protecting them, where they're working these long, drawn-out hours, where they're being treated like crap, where they're being raped and molested. Young girls from the ages of 15 on up is working in these sweatshops. But we go, we have to wear the pants, we have to have the shirts, we have to have all this name brand stuff on, not even thinking what's behind it all.
Kalita.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, good. You know that the Olympic uniforms this year were made, Ralph Lauren had that contract, and he had them made in China at a time when so many Americans are out of work. But he did apologize for that. So I also want to just interject that our jobs are not only going overseas. A lot of people think that. But what I found is that there are 1 million inmates who get up and go to work, not 5 days a week, but some of them 7 days a week. And they are not just making license plates. They are manufacturing most of the office furniture. They're manufacturing everything for Terry uses other than weaponry. Everything, their uniforms, their boots, their canteens, their tents, they're doing everything that the military uses, and they're also manufacturing machinery. They're working for Microsoft behind bars, and these same people who are expert craftsmen working for Microsoft and all these big corporations in prison, when they get out, they help them to apply for the job, and if they have a prison record, they won't hire them. They may be very gifted workers on these jobs behind bars, but they won't hire them on the outside because they hope they commit a crime out of desperation and go back to jail, and then they can be fully employed for zero.
Exactly.
So this is prison slavery. They're fishing now. They're putting inmates on fishing boats and supplanting the fishermen up there in the North New England states. So be aware that, you know, I just want to interject that, that not all the jobs are going overseas. Increasingly, the private prisons are with overseas corporations for contracts, and they're saying, you don't have to go to China. You don't have to go to India. We have plenty of slaves here.
And you know what, you are so right. You are so right about that. You are so right about that. And I forgot to say that. You're totally right. A lot of jobs aren't going overseas. They're actually going to our inmates, that they're getting paid 35 cents an hour to make certain things. They make cabinetry, okay? And then when they come out, and I was saying maybe a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about the bills that were passed in our legislature here. One of the bills that were passed here was that any contractor, when they come out and they have all these skills and everything and they become contractors, if they've had a convicted, if they're a convicted felony, they can't compete or bid for any city public contracts. So that keeps them unemployed if that's what they're going after. You understand what I'm saying? They passed the bill.
They want to keep recidivism high. They want them back in jail. So if they've got a drug charge, they won't let them have food stamps. They won't let them apply for college grants and loans.
Yeah.
That is to keep a permanent underclass of skilled workers for the prison system.
Yeah. And you know what, you guys? I want you guys to understand this. This is particularly orchestrated. It is not just thrown together. This is orchestrated piece by piece, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, how to plan something like this to happen. This is orchestrated. This is not just put together randomly.
And you know,
they're doing this on a daily basis, how to set up systems like this.
You know, Salita, someone's brought to our attention, of people here listening to how not only are these people taking their money offshore, taking them to other countries, taking them to the prison system. And these are the same companies that are taking our hard paid tax dollars and getting bailed out when they take the money and squander it.
Exactly, exactly. And believe it or not, African Americans is one of the largest consumer of name brand things.
Right.
You know
what
I'm
saying? We are, to my knowledge, the largest consumer.
Yeah, $1 billion. Just in hair, let's talk about weed. Weed, hair products, beauty supply products, a $1 billion industry, and not one of them owned by an African American. So,
a few, but very few. Very few.
Yeah, very few. But we have to, oh, come on now.
Well, we used to own the majority of them.
Yeah, you should know that. So my thing is, and I'm gonna tell you right now, I don't go to the beauty supply stores anymore. I do it online, but I used to frequent the beauty supply stores and get all my stuff. They knew me by name when I walk in there. They knew me, but when I realized what I'm doing, I said, these people don't even spend any of the money in our neighborhoods. They got their stores in our neighborhoods, but they don't spend their money in our neighborhoods.
Right.
They don't contribute to our children's education because their kids can go to private schools.
Right.
And when are we going to wake up and notice that this is, come on, you guys. Come on. When are we going
to
wake up?
Also, I urge everyone to make sure you're not a slave owner. When you go to work Monday, go and make an appointment to speak with your human resource department and tell them that you would like to go over your 401k plan. Look at your 401k plan and ask which of these companies is a private prison company, because it won't say private prison company. It will say something like Vanguard. It will say something like CCA Corporation. You need to find out, are you a slave owner? Are you contributing on the basic level? Are you drawing money because your cousin, your brother, your neighbor has been railroaded into prison. If you don't want to be a slave owner, the only way for you to make sure you're not in the system as a slave master is to go and sit down with your human resource department and make sure that your investment is not going into private prisons or into corporations that are in the war market. Because if you're investing in certain things, certain companies, that means that you are investing in the spread of imperialism. So let's understand that we are supporting the very system that is coming back to hurt us. We are supporting wars. We are supporting the growth of the private prison industry through our investments and our purchases. And this is what Selena is trying to tell us. And you don't know unless you know. And the thing is that God said you are to be a good steward. I talk to you from the Bible. You know, everything I try to do, I'm a Christian advocate. But I'm telling you, so was Martin Luther King. He was a Christian advocate. Being a Christian does not mean for you to roll over and lay down and get stepped on. Martin Luther King applied for to carry a pistol, and they refused to let him. They want gun control now, and gun control is racist. Put those words in your internet. Gun control is racist. They didn't let black people carry guns in wars until World War II when they were desperate for manpower. The Civil War, black people were only supposed to be there to shine the captain's shoes and carry water and carry the white people ammunition. Same thing with World War I and everything else. But at World War II when they were desperate, they finally let blacks actually shoot at people. But that didn't happen until World War II. They really are very uncomfortable with blacks having guns, legally having guns. And so now this massacre at Pitter and other massacres that have been, perhaps they just happened or maybe they were engineered, they are to strengthen your agreement that, we don't need all these guns. I'm telling you that if you have an unarmed citizenry, you are in danger because, remember, it's the police themselves who are killing black people. And it's something to think about, that people being armed may be our strongest impediment to turning into a fascist country faster.
Yep, that's so true. You're right. You're so right about that. And it's amazing. I just wish that people would just wake up, if we could just wake up more people, just not just only us, if we could just take this platform alone and take it to another just to get people to listen. If you don't agree with us, that's fine. If you have another solution, that's fine. But don't come and disregard everything we're saying, because everything we're saying might in your eye not be true or you don't see it. But it's there, and as long as we continue to have a blind eye to what they're trying to do, then you know what? You're going to be. And you notice, too, this is one more thing, and we're running out of time. I got 5 more minutes to go. You guys pay attention to the ideal that everything now is a 401K. You notice that. I want y'all to watch that. They're taking away from, you know, we always had these other ways for our retirement and doing all this. Now they're trying to put it where everything is a 401K. What does a 401K pertain? What does it have in a 401K? Who's actually controlling the different, I guess it has to do with the stock market, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, they take the money that you contribute to the 401K for your retirement, and they invest it in the stock market. That's exactly right.
Okay.
Are they matching it dollar for dollar like they used to?
Some jobs, it depends on, that's a job benefit, and it varies from company to company. But it's a wonderful thing, the 401K, if you put it into, you know, you have several plans. One of them is safer. But the thing is, we should care how money is invested. 401K. Because, you know, you might be getting a high yield, but this yield coming from private prisons is yield coming from wars. What is your idea coming from?
That's very important. And we're not paying attention to that. I'm just looking forward to retirement, sit on my porch, go fishing, take my kids on vacation, and just be relaxed. I don't care how money got in there. I know it's mine. I earned it. I'm fine with it. I don't care who's going to get trapped, who's going to get, you know, who's it going to work for and who's it not. Long as I can take my 401k when it's all over with, sit back and retire. That's all I'm looking forward to. Who cares if it hurt anybody? Who cares if it belongs to CCA, WAC and HUD, or Vanguard? WAC and HUD is another privately owned prison-type company. We fought them when I was in Tennessee, when I was in the union for the correction officers. We fought WAC and HUD. They came in, but a lot of us didn't take, you know, because we knew what they were about. WAC and HUD came in to take over the Tennessee prisons, and it didn't work. WAC and HUD and CCA. So I know what you're talking about when you say CCA. I know exactly who you're talking about. These are privately owned prisons systems that are coming in over the state. The state is actually selling them to these privately owned, our state prisons, to these privately owned people. And they're the ones who's running the prisons. So my thing is just keep in mind, you know, when it comes to, like you said, the 401k, make sure you're not a slave owner. Because that's basically what it boils down to.
Let me just say, Selena, all slave masters are going to hell.
No.
In case you didn't know where your great-granddaddy is, in case you say he's up there, you're lying. He's in hell.
Slave owners?
Slave owners are all in hell. All slave owners go to hell.
You heard that, you guys? All slave owners go to hell.
Yeah, I think it's more than just slave owners go to hell.
Well, you got to think of the people who did the auctions. The auctioneers who brought them over here, they're going to hell, too. They're in hell, too. I don't care how
Christian
they say they are. The facilitators, they're going to hell, too. They in hell.
That's why we want to check out 401k plans and make sure we're not a facilitator.
Exactly. That is a very good subject. I like that.
Thank you, sister.
Oh, thank you very much, Miss Mary. You just don't know how. You just excited me. You revived me all over again. Now you got me on another mission.
Thank God.
I want to thank you for this, man. This is awesome.
Well, listen, I'd appreciate it if you look at my blog, Mary Loves Justice, or Mary Neal, and get any other subjects and discuss it, because God gave me time to sit up and think of these things, and I'm just proud that you like them, and just grab more of them and talk about them, please.
I will definitely do that. I will definitely do that, ma'am. I sure will. I want to say thank you guys for listening in. Stay tuned for next Saturday. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about next Saturday, because it might have to go to, I'm going to go to your blog and see what you're talking about. I might bring that on there. For next Saturday. I want to say thank you again. Talk to you guys later. Love you. And bye-bye.
Good night, sister. Good night, brother.
Good night.
Bye-bye.